The GAA program with Tom Comack. Brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, station roundabout Letterkenny. Gear up for the next big game from the great range of clubwear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
GAA Vegas Falcha, good you, Clare Ella, and coming Luke Glasgow. And shocked on the show with me, Tom Comack, as always, on a Wednesday night. And here on the 9 o'clock, and hope you can join us. And, well, of course, in the thick of championship action, up in full swing. Big game in Ulster this weekend, of course, is Donegal and Fermanagh in Brewster Park, a local derby. For Tyrone and Antrim are also meeting there in two quarterfinals. And of course, we had probably the first surprise, certainly the first surprise victory last weekend in the Ulster Championship, with Cavan defeating Monaghan in Kingspan Breffni Park. And of course, Armagh came through in a thrilling contest with Down. So they advanced to the semi-final. And well, we know the other finalists by Sunday night, because as we said, Donegal are facing Fermanagh in a crunch tie in Brewster Park, and we're going to concentrate very much on that game tonight. And we might even go down memory lane with a few former stars. I'm delighted to say I'm going to be joined tonight by former Donegal star forward of the 1960s, Mickey McLoone, also by former Donegal player and manager at under 21 and at vocational school level, and of course also at senior level and at All-Ireland under 21 winning manager as well. That's PJ McGowan, who actually managed Fermanagh for a season as well. And we'll be joined later in the programme as well by John McElroy from Fermanagh, to get the mood and the feeling down in Fermanagh. Of course, John managed Fermanagh for 8 or 9 years in the 70s and in the 80s, and led them to a first Ulster final in quite some time. So that's all coming up, so you can hope you can stay with us. And of course, as I said, Donegal under-20s in action this weekend as well. That's in the Curtain Raiser in Brewster Park on Sunday. Early start for us all on Sunday afternoon. But it's to our guests we go first, and I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Mickey McLoone from Ballyshannon. Mickey, a very good night to you.
Good night, Tom. How are you?
Yeah, and I'm sure, I know there's quite a bit of football fever down around the banks of the Erne this weekend. I know it's a special game for people around Bundoran and Ballyshannon in particular.
Yes, indeed. It's obviously a local derby, and I was surprised that you were going so far back down memory lane to resurrect those memories of the 60s when obviously we had the same approach to playing for Mana. We knew a lot of the players from across the border, playing against the clubs and playing against each other in championship matches. So there's a lot of knowledge obviously embedded in both counties of each other, and this is no exception with the Rory Gallagher factor and the intimate knowledge of Donegal players and Donegal forum and so forth. Mm. So it's very much a reflection on what has been happening all right in the past.
Well, but one of the main reason why we're going back so to the 60s and over 50 years to that 1966, and we brought you in specially because you created a record, that scoring record that day. It was equaled some years later by Seamus Boner, but never surpassed. You scored 3 goals and 5 points against Fermanagh in an Ulster semi-final. What's your recollection of that?
Well, that's a statistic that you've given me today. I wasn't that conscious, quite frankly, and a bit awkward to be talking about scoring records, quite frankly. I know I scored a bit in the 60s, all right, but maybe I was credited with a goal there that was whether it was Nanette or flicked in or not, but I'm not arguing with you. I have great memories of that 66 semi-final in Dungannon. I know we had a big victory that day, all right, but I suppose there was very high expectations of a very good team that never quite materialised, unlike the present-day team. And I suppose that was the big disappointment. Some people put it down to the management, and some people just put it down to maybe showing too much respect for Down in an Ulster final that subsequently. But that Fermanagh match in particular, I wouldn't exaggerate now the magnitude of the victory there, because those days, of course, there was very open play. There was much less focus on tactics and defensive stuff. So there was a big emphasis on attacking football and taking the game to the opposition from the start. And we got a good run on it that day, I remember, and I suppose that's what brought us into the Ulster final in 66 for the, just the second time that Donegal played in a an Ulster final.
And, I just want to correct something. 3-4, in actual fact, I was accrediting you with a point more than. But
I'm not going to get into that.
It's in the history books, and as we know, Father Sean Gallagher has those records, and well, it's true anyway. But remind us of the teams. I know I was looking through them myself today, in actual fact, because I got them courtesy of my sports editor in the Donegal Democrat, Peter Campbell, from the archives. Very interesting match report and very interesting team.
Yes. Well, as I said, there was very high expectations of that team, because I suppose there were six or seven interprovincial players on that team, which was quite significant at that time. There was a big emphasis on the interprovincial competition. So far, we'd say the likes of Seamus Hoare, Bernard Brady, Flood, I think Sperriter, and then Frank McFeely, and so forth. John Hannigan, I think, in time, and myself, I was at the privilege of captaining the team that day. But, you know, those players were being recognised in the province as being interprovincial. So with that kind of strength, you said, I love Donegal, very strong team and very high expectations, but it was to be years later before it fully materialised. So that those were the players that were there. And then we had Paul Kelly, of course, and Sean O'Donnell. Sorry, I should have mentioned Sean, a colleague in the council. And Pádraig McShee, then close friend, was corner forward. And Des Hula and Hannigan, I think, was playing full forward that day. And McFeely was centre half. I think he came out to midfield when Sean Ferrer had an injury. And PJ Flood was like a rock in the centre half back position. And I suppose an idol of mine was Bernard Brady, who really had all-star material. But again, Bernard maybe quit a bit early. So that was the team. You've asked me about it, and I wouldn't be making comparisons, obviously, but that team and the current teams who are, you know, they're in a different league and different type of preparation, different standards in many ways, but it was a privilege to have.
Yeah, and there was a couple of big names on the Fermanagh team as well. Obviously, P.T. Tracy is a legend in Fermanagh, yeah. and Mick Brewster.
Yeah, well, it's just funny that you mentioned that, because I just was reading recently that Jerry McLaughlin was writing a book about local legends. In fact, what you're talking about in terms of local derbies, the players crossed the border in Fermanagh and Garrison and so forth. And of course, one of the big local legends was P.T. Tracy. He was playing full forward that day, and we had the Mick Brewsters then, and I think Benny Murphy was the full back. He very well, and Ollie Courtney. So and the Gallaghers, of course, and then I will have to mention the McGraths as well. There was a family, I think, of seven brothers, and the McGraths, I think they all played for Temple. And Sean was playing right half back that day. So those, that's bringing me back down memory lane. So that was the Fermanagh team at that time. Some
yeah.
of the stars.
Yeah. That's the voice of Mickey McLoone, former Donegal star footballer, captain as well, and with that record of 3-4 in a single game. It was equalled sometimes later by Seamus Bonner against Antrim, actually, in 1974. So, obviously, but a record that still holds to this day. We're also joined by PJ McGowan, of course, a former Donegal player, manager at various levels, including to senior under 21, which he won in All-Ireland in 87, and indeed many of the team of 87 combined with the team of 1982 managed by Tom Conan went on to backbone the 1992 historic first All-Ireland. And PJ, I'm not sure if you have any recollection or any at all of 66, but of that team of the 60s.
Indeed I have, Tom. I would have been a young fella going with my father to matches then. just a teenager, basically a young teenager. We had some tremendous footballers in the 60s. You must remember, we didn't get to our first Ulster final until 1963, and we had a lot of matches, tight matches with Down throughout the 60s. And an interesting statistic is that Down contested every single Ulster final from 1959 until 1969. And were a tremendous team, running three All-Irelands at that time. So Donegal were up there with them, and indeed we had quite a bit of lag in cup success. I watched a number of those players that Mickey talks about, including himself, and he was a tough, hard footballer, Mickey McLoone, with a great eye for a score. And we could well do with him in 3-4 or 3-5 on Sunday in Enniskillen.
Yeah. And obviously that team is generally felt as probably the one great team in the county, 63 to 66, and maybe a couple of years afterwards, that really didn't perform and didn't achieve its full potential.
Yeah, well, we underachieved, Tom, because we had tremendous footballers, and as Mickey rightfully said, Ulster were very strong at Railway Cup level at that time. The Railway Cup was a very sought-after trophy. And it was backboned on each occasion by a number of Donegal players. You had Mickey Griffin as well, Frankie McFeely, Sean O'Donnell, and the fellas that Mickey mentioned. So we had tremendous talent. And really, I suppose, as a team collective overall, we probably underachieved with that group of players. And I won't go into maybe why that was, but certainly, I think if we had the preparation and the management structures that we have today, we wouldn't have had to wait until 1972 to win our first Ulster title, because we had the talent. And whether it be Down and Cavan were a big side at that stage too, or whatever the reason, it was certainly laid the foundations for what happened in the 70s, Tom.
And that's the voice of PJ McGowan, of course, reflecting back on that great team of the 60s. We'll talk to PJ a little later about, obviously, his time in Fermanagh. And, well, we're going to go on and talk to PJ and Mickey McLoone about the current Donegal team and what they see are the chances on Sunday in Brewster Park. But I'm glad to see him joined by John McElroy from Tempo, of course, a former Fermanagh manager. Good night to you, John.
How are you?
Good, how are you? And you're welcome. You heard PG and Mickey there. I'm not sure if you have any recollection of the 60s, or were you still in the too short of trousers?
Oh, no. I was wearing the long trousers in the 60s as well, because, well, maybe I got a senior league final or a senior league medal with the old club Tempo here in 61, so you can sort out the age then.
Team of Michael Cleary, Christy Maxteed, Benny Murphy, Oliver Courtney, Sean McGrath, Noel Slug, Kevin O'Shea, Tom Gallagher, Vincent Green, Jerry McGee, Mick Brewster, John Maguire, Pat Fitzpatrick, P.T. Tracy, and Kevin Murphy, and my colleague here, P.O. McCann, a Dromore man, tells me that Kevin Murphy was actually a Tyrone man, played with Carrickmore and St. Enda's in Omagh.
You can tell P.O. McCann that he would have seen a good Tempo team around that time as well, playing in the Dromore tournament finals, and there'd have been a few shillings going on from the CMPO, like ourselves and Gillick, we playing in the Dromore tournament final.
Yeah.
An answer to that one?
There's probably a programme in that in itself.
Anyway, yeah, no. Those are all familiar names now. You're talking their familiar names.
Yeah, do you remember those players and those teams?
Oh, God, I do, surely. Yeah.
And do you remember the 66 semi-final?
In Dungannon?
Yeah.
Just about. I can't say much of it now, but I do remember it all right.
Yeah. And of course, you went on to manage after your playing career, manage for Manor for a number of years, and enjoyed a bit of success, and indeed over Donegal as well.
Well, we had success. That was my first year managing, believe it or not, in 1977. And we managed to get to the final, and we played Monaghan maybe in the first round, and Derry in the second round, and we had a final against Donegal in Omagh. And Brian McInniff was player-manager at the time. So there you are.
That was the McKenna Cup, was it?
Yeah. It was the first time we had won a McKenna Cup in 47 years or something. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But it was
That's the Donegal team that went on and won the first ever Ulster.
Eh?
That's the first Donegal team that ever went on and won a first ever Ulster.
Is that right? Good enough, yeah.
Yeah.
So then I was round then from that till about 85, and we got to the final in 82, and I remember meeting the said Brian McInniff and somebody else in the street in Clonus now, and they were giving me plenty of comfort of going to the game anyway.
Yeah.
My memories of Donegal went on to about what was 84, the centenary year. We played Donegal maybe in a quarter final of the Centenary Cup that year. And had we won that, we'd have been playing Cork and Croke Park for the first time ever in a semi-final, but we didn't reach it. Donegal put us out. We hit the bottom of the upright in the last few kicks of the game, so that ended that.
Yeah. Who was on that team? Who was on that team?
Well, you're talking about the Kieran Campbells and the Niall Corrigans, and they've gone on ahead right through to Peter McGinty and Phil Courtney and Dominic Corrigan and Kieran Corrigan and boys like that, you know. I don't know whether you have any record of that there now, but after the game was over, and I never heard it against him, but often told him about it. Brian McInniff wouldn't give me the ball, even though we did win it.
So he still has it.
Yeah, I'd imagine so, yeah. But yeah. He didn't know that we were going to Fintan the same year then to play in a league game. And when Donegal had collected all their footballs, there was two stand lying at the back of the head, so I put them in my bag then that day. we hadn't as much help that time gathering footballs and physios and what have you, you know.
Yeah, it's a different game now, isn't it, John?
Yeah. There's a lot of time spent on sorting things out regarding every move they make on the pitch and so forth, and I think it's taking a bit of the enjoyment out of it where man plays man. Years ago, you were getting the better of your man, but nowadays you're getting the better of a wall, so there's a slight difference.
Yeah. And tell me, what's the mood in Fermanagh this week?
Oh, it would be good enough, yeah. It would be good enough, but there still would be also the final display last year, we sort of still hanging over them, you know, and the threat that Donegal might bring to it. But there's just a wee warning sign there that, you know, it's in Brewster Park this time, it's not in Clonus.
Yeah, well, you did avenge that somewhat in O'Donnell Park in the league, and I know, obviously, league and championship, and probably the teams that will be lining out are going to be much different.
Well, I was thanking my lucky stars that my good friend Michael Murphy didn't come on for the last 5 minutes that day, because it was in the last 5 minutes that we scored our two winning points that day, if you remember.
Yeah.
But Michael didn't make an appearance, thankfully.
Yeah. And how is this particular Fermanagh team viewed in Fermanagh?
Well, it'd be as usual, hopefully the best around, you know. But, you know, if you're comparing with the talent that's in the Donegal team right through, you would be taking second looks at it, you know. Although, the man that I'm after talking about there, Michael Murphy, there would be a Fermanagh full-back that would have more or less been even Stephen with him a couple of times in league games and challenge games and what have you, you know. So, but then you have the Paddy McBeardys and so forth after that, that won't be as he'll talk to. So that'll be generally the feeling, isn't it? Like, it would be more optimistic. They'll be more hopeful than been optimistic, probably.
And of course, Rory Gallagher certainly will have a knowledge of Donegal that certainly will be to his advantage.
Of course, he'd know the ins and outs of the whole lot of them, and I suppose he would do, and while I suppose he would have a lot of respect for the players yet, he'll have to do something about it on Sunday in many ways. But no, Rory would know the story.
Okay. Can you stay on the line there, John, for a few minutes more?
Yeah, I can.
That's John McElroy joining us from Tempo. It's the GAA programme with me, Tom Comack. My special guests tonight are Mickey McLoone, former Donegal captain, and one of the star players of the 1960s, former Donegal senior player and manager, a member of that 1972 team that won the first Ulster title, PJ McGowan, is with me as well. But we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, well, we might turn our attention to the big game in Brewster Park on Sunday and get the thoughts of Mickey McLoone. And well, we've heard what John thinks there. So obviously we'll hear what PJ has to say as well. But John McElroy certainly going to Brewster Park more in hope than in confidence. But we'll have more right after these.
The GAA programme with Tom Comack. Brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Station Roundabout, Letterkenny. Gear up for the next big game from the great range of clubwear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Falcha Rash, and welcome back to the GAA programme here with me, Tom Comack, with you until 9 o'clock. We've just got a few minutes left. We've still got our three guests here, Mickey McLoone, PJ McGowan, and John McElroy from Fermanagh. Mickey, back to you and looking ahead to Sunday. What do you make of Donegal at the moment?
Well, I think there's a very, very strong panel there. I mean, 25 or 26 players from which to choose. And, I mean, that's the dilemma. And there's a tremendous blend of experience and youth, and that youth manifested itself in the league in no uncertain terms in Croke Park after a very shaky start. I mean, to see the Oisin Gallons and the Niall O'Donnells kicking 3 and 4 points in their 19 years in Croke Park and a debut, you know, see those players coming through was extremely encouraging. And you know, with the experienced players rested at the time. So now the dilemma, obviously, for the manager is choosing 15 out of the 26. And with Patrick McBrearty back and himself, Murphy, and Jamie Brennan as a full forward line, you've got to be, you know, saying that we have great strength. There's no doubt about that. Now, having said that as well, they've obviously learned quite a lot from the league performances you've mentioned in O'Donnell Park. So there's huge respect for Fermanagh, for Rory Gallagher, his knowledge of Donegal players. So that's why I think, you know, Donegal are not being complacent. I imagine there's a great hunger there, and I imagine a great appetite. But looking, you know, on the face of it, Donegal are installed as very hot favourites just because of the strength of that particular panel. Now, as John says, it's a different ball game though going to Brewster Park, and the atmosphere will be there, but I think the players will be up for it. That's my view. And, you know, my own view is that they are favourites to win, but that would be an incentive for Fermanagh to do it on their home ground. So I imagine it's going to be a very, very tactical game. And the question will be, you know, whether it's going to be ultra-defensive or whether either team are going to be able to bring an attacking game forward and open a lead that would open the game out. So that's my assessment of it.
PJ McGowan, you know, as Mickey McLuhan says there, it's going to be a pretty tactical game. I think we have a fair idea the way Fermanagh is going to play. So obviously, a word that's been mentioned a lot by people this week, that Donegal are going to have to be very, very, very patient.
Oh, I think you're right, and I think Mickey's right. I think we know what to expect from Fermanagh. They played a very defensive, hard-to-break-down structure during the National League. They were very, very difficult to beat. And when they played against us in Letterkenny, as well as being defensive, they broke very incisively and very quickly out of defence. And we found it difficult to live with that. So I don't think people are going to be surprised by the setup on Sunday. Football today has become very, very tactical anyway. And that even goes for club football besides inter-county football. Levels of fitness are superbly high these days. Fermanagh and Rory will have left no stone whatsoever unturned in preparation for this. And I know that he's had them in camp and they've spent quite a bit of time together. It's also rumoured that the pitch in Enniskillen may be a little bit tighter than it usually is, getting ready for this one. But look, that's the challenge. There's quite a bit of experience as well as youth in the Donegal side. But you mentioned a couple of young players there. Certainly, they won't get the same space or opportunities against Fermanagh that they got during the National League games. And we have some good young talent coming through, but I think we've got to be patient with them. We've got to nurture them and bring them along at the right pace. But I think it was 12 points in it in the Ulster final last year. We'll be very lucky, Tom, if we get out of Enniskillen with a 1 or 2 point victory on Sunday. And I'd be delighted with anything at all out of the match on Sunday. It's going to be totally different to what we've had against Fermanagh in the Championship last year. And obviously, Fermanagh will be keen on revenge for the Championship last year because they felt that they didn't do themselves justice against us last year. And we can remember as well, Fermanagh against Monaghan last year, and they certainly you know, had a great victory there, and it was near enough the last kick of the game or the last punch of the game that they actually won that game. So it's going to be a tough, tough encounter. It's going to be a game where discipline is going to be very, very important from both sides, and it'll be a game for experienced heads as well, I feel.
And John McElroy, we'll leave the final word to you. It'll have to be pretty brief because unfortunately the clock is catching up on us. Is there any possibility that everybody's expecting Fermanagh to be defensive? Is there any possibility that maybe Rory Gallagher, as the great tactician that he is, can pull some rabbit out of the hat and maybe not go so defensive and maybe attack more?
Well, that's the game they've been playing now for about 18 months or so, so it'll hardly change just overnight. Just the one thing there, PJ was talking about maybe the pitch being a bit smaller. We would never dream of that in Fermanagh, because the first time that I heard that happening was with Brian McInniff himself from the pitch in Bundoran for a championship match. We'd never dream of that, hey?
Well, that's good to know that your conscience is clear, John. Look at John. Thanks a million. We'll see you on Sunday. Thanks to Mickey McLoone and to PJ McGowan as well. From me, Tom Cormack, Gudgeon Shocks and Johogan, Slán agus Bannock.